couple years back, there was a movie called The Wolf of Wall Street. I'll ask how many of you have actually heard of The Wolf of Wall Street. It actually set a record. It's not a good record, but it actually set a record for the number of times, the most number of times the F word was used in a movie. Over 500 times they used the F word. And it kept on going in 3 hours. Now, they use it for the English majors. They use English, they're studying English. They use it as a noun. They use it as a verb. They use it as an adjective, as an interjection, and also as an infix, which is actually a word inside of another word. So they also used it in the company of friends, in the company of colleagues, in adversaries. They used it in the moments of anger, of excitement, of awe. They used it, and they used it, and they used it. How do you feel when you hear a cuss word? How do you feel when you hear somebody using a swear word? What do you think about the person that you just heard it come out of their mouth? What feelings, emotions come to your mind when you hear that? And if you do swear, have you stopped for a moment to ask yourself, well, why do I swear? Why do I do it? What's the reason? What's the reason? When you go to the dictionary and ask the question, what is swearing? It says this: an offensive word or phrase used to express anger or annoyance. So there's a deep connection between your deep feelings and emotions and that of the words you choose to use. And the words. Research was done by the Bergen Research Foundation. They found this very interesting thing. Profanity is the type of language we use to communicate our strongest emotions. Would you agree with that? We use it when we're afraid of something. We use it to bring emotions to the surface, to share, communicate those emotions, fear, anger, joy, or excitement. It's basically, we use a word and then we add maybe a curse word on the end of it to basically be a verbal explanation point, right? Because we want people to take it more seriously or to listen to what I just said or to take note of it. Bergen research goes on and says, it's reflexive rather than reflective. It's immensely revealing about who we are and what we want. So what we say, if we use curse words, it says that it's reflective of who we are, on the inside. And this is a secular organization looking at this saying, it reflects deeply about who we are and our character of what we choose to use and how we choose to say it. Now, is cursing just something we do when we're young? Everyone's quiet. What's going on? You haven't heard a curse word before? Oh, my bad. You've heard a curse word before, right? Have you heard older people say it? Yes. Younger people, right? We've heard it in our lives. It doesn't just affect one age bracket or another. We hear it a lot. I have friends the age of my grandfather who cuss at a level that makes sailors run from the room. It is something that is out there and is common. And maybe there's reasons you do swear. Maybe you grew up in a household where swearing was very common. Have you ever been to a household where swearing was very common? Yeah? Ever been there? Yeah. It was common. It was kind of like the norm. And so if you hear your parents doing it, then what do you do? Well, okay, it must be the thing we do. So you do. Or maybe you use swear words because you want to shock people. There it is, you want to grab their attention, and so you use a swear word in order to grab their attention so they'll take note of what you're trying to say. Or maybe you have a strong feeling you want to communicate, or maybe you want to fit in. Your friends are using swear words, and you say, well, I'm just going to use a swear word too. Or you want to be accepted, and you say, well, that must be the way we talk in this space, in this area, so we do it. Or maybe we say, oh, I just want to feel a little rebellious or break the rules a little bit. so we do it. But there is a much higher level of negative impact than anything positive that you could perceive that came from it. Some of the negative impacts, I've spent an entire week studying swearing, so you can imagine it's been an adventure. You don't really win an argument by swearing. Have you ever seen people swearing at each other, arguing back and using swear words? It just escalates, right? Because your language is directly connected with your emotions. And so by swearing, you're elevating the conversation, the dialogue, the argument up and up and up and up. It doesn't help to swear. It actually causes more issues on an emotional level than it does help the conversation. And also, you don't prove that you are smart or articulate by cussing. No one ever said, so I heard you cussing, and then goes, wow, they say that so articulately. Yes, they are so well-spoken. No one ever did that. I'm sorry. No one looks at you and goes, oh, that's so nice to hear today. No. Another thing, you don't earn respect or admiration by going around cussing or swearing. People don't look, I admire that person. They're such a good swearer. No, they don't. I'm sorry, they don't. Other things, you don't motivate. I've heard coaches, they use swearing to motivate their players. Does it motivate? No, it only intimidates them. Also, swearing doesn't get you hired or promoted. From a study back done in 2010, it says participants said that they perceived coworkers who swore to be what? Incompetent. So in the business world, if someone is going around swearing, coworkers often see that person as incompetent, uneducated, other studies said. And when you're trying to have a romantic relationship, you're wooing somebody, it doesn't help. I mean, you're not going to get a really, oh, they're a great swearer. I think I should go on a date with them. Really? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because it's going to negatively impact their entire life going forward and what they say and what they do. And so these are some really negative things. So I think you should really seriously consider if you're thinking, if you swear, or if you're not, if you're wrestling with, you know, swearing, think about it. Think about it. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Ephesians 4:29. I know there's Bibles. They're in the pew. We put them there. They're there. Ephesians 4:29. So I can hear the wrestling. And if it was in cell phones, you can't have your cell phones, so most of you, but so, yeah. Open up. Come on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Important topic. I know. I've never heard a sermon on this before, so it's interesting for me. Definitely. All right. For those who do not have a Bible, it is also up on the screen for you. It says there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, Do not let any unwholesome, what do some other versions say? Corrupt. What some other versions say? Foul or abusive. So this word is unwholesome is translated in different ways. Do not let anything unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Mouths. The word unwholesome is also translated in the original language as rotten. Rotten. It is the same word that is used in Matthew chapter 7 to refer to rotten fruit. Have you ever tasted rotten fruit? And you go, yum, right? Yeah, right, yeah, yum, right? Rotten fruit. It's the same word used to describe rotten fruit. It's also the same word that is used to describe rotten fish. Now, when you look at those pictures, do you get good, yummy feelings? You want to think about lunch, right? No, exactly. It's nasty. It's disgusting. It's, as it says, unwholesome talk is not what you want and you want to be known for. Now, this unwholesome talk, you may say, well, I don't swear. Did you know this unwholesome talk also talks about or is thinking about gossip, about things like slander or spreading rumors? That is also included into that bracket of unwholesome talk. John Piper, a well-known speaker and writer, he says that that rotten speech is a lot like rotten fruit and rotten fish. It will not nourish you, will you? It won't nourish you. It won't give you strength. It contaminates. It causes disease. It makes you sick. And it smells really, really bad, doesn't it? It smells really bad. And you don't want what's coming out of your mouth to smell really, really bad, right? You do not want whatever coming out of your mouth to people to go, it's rotten. It's disgusting coming out. And Paul tells us that like the rotten fruit and the rotten fish, we need to do what? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these." Anger. Notice the connection. Emotional issue struggles with the language. Notice there's a connection between the two. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. He says we want to get rid of these things. And so if we're struggling with anger, there's a natural outlet because language is an outlet for that emotions. And so we need to address the emotions behind what we're struggling with. It says also in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says this. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." What kind of fruit do you want to eat? Rotten or tasty? If someone delivered a fruit basket that was very rotten, would you go, "Thank you so much, this is beautiful"? No. You want it to be fresh. You want it to be pleasant. You want what you deliver and share with other people not to be rotten. You want it to be good, wonderful. And the Bible says that our language, our words have power, don't they? They have power. Even as far back as Genesis, right? From the very beginning, God spoke and things were created. They were created and became, and there was order, there was systems. It was beautiful. But then later in Genesis, God spoke again, and there was judgment. There was destruction that came about. And as human beings, we're made in the image of God. We're made in the image of God. And we have that power to speak. Our words make a difference. Our words can create life and bring hope and bring good things for other people. They can build them up. Or by our words, we can bring harm, we can bring hurt, we can cause pain. I don't know if you remember the saying, it's an older saying, "Sticks and stones, okay, break my bones, but what? Words will never hurt me." It's an old saying, but guess what? We keep saying it over and over. "Oh yeah, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Maybe you send that to a bully, but do words really hurt? Yes, they do. And the impact also of the words we use ourselves can hurt us and of how we speak and how we relate to the people around us. It does have an impact. Now, when I looked at categories, I spent a lot of time researching swearing words. Now, when I went down through the list of things, there's basically two major categories of words and principles that we look at when it comes to swearing. The first category is that of belittling. So we use words that belittle or make less of what they are really intended to hold on to, the meaning of. Like if we take we use the word God in a bad or derogatory way, we're taking the word of God, the name of God, who is real, who is true, who is faithful, who is loving, and we're bringing it down and making it less of what it should be. And we don't want to do that. In fact, God says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." But it's not just God. It's also misusing maybe Jesus' name because it's holy, it's sacred. Or maybe even things like the place where it says that there was destruction in the realm of hell. It's a real thing. It's a real death. It's or damnation, which is condemnation or judgment. We take things that are true and we make them smaller than they truly are. And they truly are. And we take away from the seriousness of who God is, how holy and just and honorable he is by how we misuse them. We belittle them by misusing them. Also, let me ask a question, something to think about. If we take upon ourselves the name Christian, and then we go out and we act like we're not Christian, is that a way of misusing or the name of God? Something to think about. Something to pray about. The other area, which is that area which is kind of like words that are blocked into the idea of crude or crass, Every culture has words that we say we don't use, we don't want to use. And yet, when we learn a second language, what do we first want to know? Right, guys, it's going to be true. Yeah, we want to know, okay, what are the swear words in that language, maybe? But it says these are words that are not appropriate within a culture in that context. The scripture says this, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love does not behave what? Rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Now, when it says love is not behaving rudely, it means more than your mother looking at you and going, stop chewing with your mouth open at the dinner table. It's more than that. It goes beyond that. It's our relationship with each other and with God, because it's part of love. Treating other not rudely is part of being a Christian, right? To love God with all your heart, with all of your mind, with all your soul, and to love who else? Your neighbor, others, as you love yourself. Are you rude to yourself when you should be kind and loving and compassionate to yourself and others? Our scripture reading is for Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And we would love to have a list, wouldn't you? These are the words you should not say. I don't know, do we have a list of words we shouldn't say? You see, I don't know. But the Bible takes us at is basically, you need to use your mind to think about these things. It gives us principles, because over the years, words that you should not use have changed, right? Different cultures, different societies, different backgrounds, they've all changed. And so the words today wouldn't be the same. So let me give you some principles that the Bible talks about dealing with emotions as well as the words we say when you're thinking about, is this a word I should say or not? Number one, the Bible says we should be quick to listen and slow to what? Speak. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to become angry. Again, there's a connection between our emotions and our feelings and the words that come out of our mouth. It says we got to be careful about that. We need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Hopefully that would also give us time to think about what we say before we say it. Ever had that? Something comes out, and you're like, oop, I wish I could bring that back. But we can't. Number two, walk in the spirit of self-control. The fruit of the spirit, Galatians 5:22 starts this. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. It says there needs to be self-control. As a Christian, there should be self-control with our speaking. You're in charge, right? Who's in charge of you, right? You are. You're in charge. So what comes out of your mouth is whose responsibility? Yours. For me, it's mine. My responsibility what comes out. But we got to be responsible. We need to have self-control. Third, God holds us accountable for every careless word. Matthew 12:36 says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Again, we need to be thoughtful in what we say, with words we say, and how we say it. It's important. Number four, seek God's approval, not the cultures around us. 1 John 1:6-7 says, if we claim to have fellowship with who? Him. Who's him? With God. With him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Sometimes we use words just because we want to fit in. We want to feel accepted. We want people to hear us and take us seriously. But he says we shouldn't be using the words we speak just for that purpose, but to honor and glorify God, who is our Father. Again, there's no list. So the second part of Ephesians 4:29 says this, but only what is helpful for doing what? What is the purpose of our words? Building up. It's actually using construction language there. Building up according to what? Their needs. So you're building other people up in line with what they need. So you're listening, you're being attentive to the needs of others as a Christian, that it may benefit those who listen. So are the words you say benefiting other people? Are they building people up? Are your words helping you to build up the kingdom of God? Are they words building up the kingdom of God? Are the words that you say, are they going to draw people to Jesus Christ? Or are they going to smell something and know something is wrong? Are they going to say, oh, that's rotten? Or are they going to be a beautiful smell that draws people in? Jesus is in this place. Jesus' presence is here. There's more to just this thing about you misusing and using curse words, right? It's not just about the words we use. There's more to the story. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his, where? Heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Whatever's in the heart, whatever's deep in your heart, is going to come out. You can clean it up. You can make it look nice. You can appear nice in front of a huge amount of people. But what's in the heart will eventually come out. Someone said that you can teach a person to communicate in a nice way without a heart change, but they're just a pig in a tuxedo. That's it. And I wrestle with it. You're going to have a time to talk about this in little groups at the end of the service. But when it comes to veggie cussing, I'll call it, it's a lot like a pig in a tuxedo. It may look nice on the outside, but has it really changed what's going on here? Something to think about, something to pray about. Without a heart change, the nature is not changed. What looks nice on the outside, the pride and the self-seeking is still there. The nice speech that people change on the outside can just be a tool now to get people to get their own way, to manipulate the conversation, to get things what they want. But for a Christian, use of godly speech is to glorify our Heavenly Father, right? To glorify Him, because it's Him who made our mouth. But it's got to be rooted in a new birth, a conversion that is found in a transformation of our hearts. Because we can clean up the words on the outside, but unless there's a change on the inside, it's just a pig with a tuxedo. The change has to be in the level of the heart. It's got to be there. How are you building other people up or tearing people down by your words? How are you doing that? For us to do that, we need to take seriously. We need to stop saying, oh, what I say doesn't really matter. My words don't really matter to other people. Or making excuses. You caught me before I got to wake up. Or you caught me before my first cup of coffee. Or whatever you're going to say, stop making excuses. Your words have an impact on other people. They do. Talk less, as the Bible says. Listen more. Understand what people need. Start building them up. Ask yourself, what does this person need? What are the words they really need to hear? The words that you can speak that you have to give. What can you say to make a difference in that person's life today? That is positive, that is uplifting, that is building. For those who maybe if you're struggling with swearing, let me share a few things with you. Or you know someone who's struggling. First of all, recognize that swearing does more damage than good. It doesn't prove that you're smart or articulate. It doesn't earn respect or admiration. It doesn't get you hired or promoted. We looked at the study where people saw you as what if you cursed in the business world? Uneducated, right? Incompetent. How many people want to be seen like that? No. No one wants to be seen as uneducated or incompetent. Another number two, start by eliminating casual swear words. Every moment when you're walking through life, think about that you have your little grandmother with you. She is so sweet. And if you said that swear word, it would just break her heart. But scratch all that if your grandmother swears like a sailor. Scratch that. Use how you speak, your tone, your inflection to emphasize instead of adjectives. Use your tone. You can. When you stub your, hammer your finger or you stub your toe, you can say, ouch, that really did hurt, instead of, yes, you can. I know you can. You can. Be more descriptive of objects, of work, of how you feel, or the way someone looks. Increase your vocabulary. This is good stuff. You don't have to use these words. You can use other vocabulary. Here's a great opportunity. Learn that in school. Another major thing is cope. Don't cuss. We live in an imperfect world, don't we? That's it. That no one. Amen. Right? We do, right? We have expectations that are continually increasing. Each and every day, there's aggravations, there's delays, and if you get stuck in traffic or disappointments and frustrations, they happen. It's going to happen. So stop cussing about it and learn to cope with it. Address it. When you get caught in stress of a situation and the traffic won't keep moving and you want to say something else, learn how to calm yourself. Find coping mechanisms that will help you deal with the emotional side. It'll help you with the language side. Make your point politely. If someone says you're doing something incorrectly, don't tell them, I don't care, or add some other colorful language. Take your time to respond maturely, kindly, and personally. And it takes work, right? Any change that you're making, it takes work. It takes time. Swearing, for many, is a habit. It's just as hard as losing weight or giving up cigarettes or any other habit. It's hard to give up. If you're in a rut, it's hard to get out. And it takes practice. It takes support from a church family and for other people. Support, help people if they're trying to stop. Help them. Encourage them. Celebrate with them when they do make a positive stand. And of course, it takes the Holy Spirit working inside of each of us to give us that patience, that love, that compassion. But it also helps us. We all need that help and support because we cannot do it on our own. We need each other. Not only for controlling our language, but also helping us not to swear. One of the reasons to stop swearing is it's important for communication. If you use a lot of swear words, when you're swearing at someone a lot, they don't know what's really wrong. All they know is that you are upset. And so if you stop, you're able to communicate a lot more clearly and effectively. When you swear at someone, they immediately go on the defensive. They go on the defensive and they start yelling back at you, you start yelling at them, and it doesn't strengthen your relationship and it's not good communication. And it's not appropriate when you want in any place that you want people to respect you. Do you value respect? Do you want other people to respect you, take you seriously? Then swearing is not going to help that. In the professional realm, in the school or work, wherever you find yourself, it's not a benefit to you. It will cause harm. At this time, I want you to break up into groups of three. And here are your application questions. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to talk about these questions in groups of three to four people. What would you say to a Christian who admitted that his or her speech was often unwholesome but wanted to change? Where would you start? And the second question, can we substitute other words for curse words? Does that change anything? Explain your reasoning. That would be like veggie cuss words. All right. Words are on the screen. Get in groups of three to four. Talk with the people nearby you. Give you 5 minutes. All right. I hope you had some good conversation. It's a topic that we don't talk about very much. I hope you had something that you could take away from this to talk about, maybe talk about in the dorms later on. How, what impact does it make? Does it? Does it not? I hope it starts a good conversation, a healthy conversation about it. At the end of it, it's your choice, right? It's your individual choice. You've got to make a decision. How do you want the words coming out of your mouth to affect other people? Do you want them to go like this? Or do you want them to say, wow, I like what they're saying. I'm drawn to it. We don't want people looking at us going, man, that's rotten. That's bad. How do you want people to see you? And how do you want people to see the God that you serve, that you follow? And I'll add this also, what you watch and what you listen to can also make cursing more normalized for you. What you take into you makes a difference. It might be like the Wolf of Wall Street. And the truth is, I'm gonna care about you whether you curse or not. I love you no matter what you curse or not. God loves you. God loves you. This is not a way to strengthen your relationship with God, but God loves you as you. But he also wants something better for you. He wants something better for you. Not just for your personal life, but your relationship with him. But I encourage you, don't bring down or belittle the things that are serious. Don't belittle those things. They're important. They're valuable. God is almighty, all-powerful. Don't make him less than he is. Don't make him less than he is. Also, don't bring negative attention to Christ by what you say. Lift him up. As Christians, we want to be people that are making the world around us a better place, a wonderful place. The Bible talks about us being salt and light to the world around us. And I pray that that's what we would be, that God can reach us and says, Lord, change me from the inside out. Because if it's just a cleaning up on the outside, it's going to do very little good. But if it comes and says, Lord, change me from the heart in. Make me more like you. That is my desire for you. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would change us from the inside out. Make us more and more like you. Lord, we pray that we would fill our hearts and our minds with things that are glorify you, that honor you, that lift you up. And I pray, Lord, that the words that we speak and the meditation of our hearts, Lord, would be acceptable to you, that you would be given honor and glory in our actions and our words, that it would be wholesome, that would be for building up of your kingdom, that building up of other people, that it would be given honor and glory to you, we pray. In Jesus' name.